2 o'clock. And you know what that means.
Hey, man!
It's time for Dukes and Bell, the best sports talk duo, breaking down the hottest topics in the ATL.
Wait a minute.
That's huge, big.
We like our sports like we like our brew. Fresh and crisp to the last out.
Yeah.
Carl Dukes.
You're not listening.
And Mike Bell.
Give me a freaking break.
Are about to take over the airwaves.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Carl Dukes and Mike Bell.
I know you don't want to do this, but we have to. Atlanta, trust me on this. It's
going
Dukes and Bell.
Trap and trying to take over their trap.
It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
By saying, hey, man. Abe is in for Mike. I know you don't want to do this, but we have to do this.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
Liar.
I want to do it.
We have to do this, Abe, because it is our duty to do this.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not doing it because I want to. I'm not doing it because I woke up this morning and I said, you know, I really just want to rehash something that we're all tired of. But for the first time, we hear from the man. And Abe said last night, or yesterday, that he was going to get up super early to watch the release of this Netflix show, Quarterbacks, or Quarterback, which this year consists of Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins. Understand this is from last season. And the reason why this is important is because we get clarity. Okay? So I just want to lay that out before we get rolling here. For all of you right now, like, man, I want to talk about Michael Penix. We are going to. Trust us. Nonstop. But right now, we got to talk about what we learned. First things first. I don't watch any documentary unless I feel like I'm going to learn something. If I turn a documentary on and I go, knew that. It's not hooking me. This is kind of boring. I turn it off. Quarterback season 2. You stayed up. You watched it. As a matter of fact, we got text all night long. Oren is here after 28 weeks of maternity leave. Day-Day is back from an anniversary trip that took him to the West Coast, which we'll hear more about. But he texted us and said, I stayed up and watched all of these episodes. So I want to start with you first and tell us what you got out of Quarterback season 2.
Look, everyone is going to watch this or read the quotes. I put some out on Twitter, and we'll talk about some of the specifics that I took away from it and get mad at someone. Feel free to get mad at Kirk Cousins. My takeaway after watching Quarterback is the exact same takeaway I had in week 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. When all of this decline started, right, going from a 6-3 team in week 9 until missing the playoffs there week 18. And my frustration is not with Kirk Cousins.
Mm. Who's it with?
The guy who continued to play Kirk Cousins.
Even after seeing what Kirk Cousins said.
What Kirk Cousins said is exactly how I assumed it was communicated at the time. I was expecting the leader of the franchise to make a tough call, and it didn't happen. And so, and look, and I've talked to you, and it always is going to sound negative when I say something like this. I'm a huge fan of Raheem Morris. I do believe in Raheem Morris. I think it was a very rough go for him last year. I called it a net negative between this decision specifically and game clock management and some other things here and there. The game plan in week 1, I thought Raheem was a net negative last year. I still like Raheem. I still believe he can be a successful head coach with this franchise. To me, this was a bad look for him, not for Kirk Cousins. Kirk is going to say this. All the players are going to say this. That's not a surprise. At one point, he talked about learning from Doug Flutie, who learned from Drew Bledsoe, who learned from Wally Pipp. You don't let that other guy get a chance to be on the field. I don't blame Kirk for trying to stay as the starting quarterback of this franchise.
You don't blame him?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I blame the guy who allowed him to have his way, make the tough call. Didn't happen, and you missed the playoffs.
Kirk Cousins says he felt missiled by the Falcons after they drafted Michael Penix.
I think there's a typo. Misled.
No, missiled or misled.
Misled.
Either way, they're both the same.
Yeah.
And he also said that if he had the information around free agency, if he had the information that they were going to draft a quarterback, he certainly would have, it would have affected his decision. So he said, I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there. Let's start there, because that's a lie. He was not going back to Minnesota, okay? Kevin O'Connell, his coach, loved him. That's true. But the general manager there, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, did not. He was not going back to Minnesota despite the fact that he had become or was going to become a free agent. And I start here because this is the snowball effect of you believing everything that he's saying. What other teams were talked about signing Kirk Cousins besides us? Five, four, what? You don't have an answer? Because there weren't any.
None.
Zero.
None.
We were the team. In fact, we were the team so much so we tampered. Okay? So this idea that if I would have known the information around free agency, I would have stayed in Minnesota. That's not true. You weren't going back to Minnesota. The GM didn't want you. You wanted a long-term deal. They weren't committed to giving you that. And more importantly, you said you didn't want to go year to year. Okay, that part is true. But this is half-truths we're talking about. You weren't going back there. So you took the best offer that paid you $100 million in the first 2 years of this deal. With that said, here's the issue, Abe. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the texts are already rolling in. Dukes and Bell, I'm so over Cousins. He whines more than my nine-month-old baby. I hear you. But we're trying to get clarity. And here's the question I would ask for all of you who still want to blame the coach. And I ask, whose side are you on now? The organization or Cousins? Because I ask the question, where's the integrity? Everything that Cousins talks about and does, and everybody goes, oh, he's such a truthful guy. There was no integrity in this. You deny all year long that you're injured, but then now after the season and even on this quarterback show, you come out and admit that you're hurt? Where's the integrity? I don't have any patience for that, Abe. And I want to go through this quickly because I think this is important. We're talking about the show being released. All the episodes are out, right? They're all out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven of them.
Abe stayed up, watched them. We're discussing this because, again, we're a few weeks away from camp, and this is the first time that we've heard from him, okay, without him saying that this was a clerical error. It was a four-game stretch. It was a four-game stretch that destroyed our season. A four-game stretch of him being not being able to be honest. First things first, November 10th, New Orleans. We discussed it yesterday, right? 2017, young Wakeu, do your job. But even with that, he threw for 306 yards. No touchdowns, but he threw a pick. And this was the start of this series of games where he's throwing picks every game. So we go to 6-4. Remember, we go 6-3 into that game. All right, Saints, fine. We lose 2017. The Denver game, you mentioned, Abe, they rocked our world. 38-6, it was a blowout. He throws for a 173, no touchdowns, and another pick. All of a sudden, we're 6-5. We go to the bye week. You claim this is the time in which you would have made the switch, and a lot of people may agree with that. But I got something for you, and it came out of Kirk Cousins' mouth. December 1st versus the Chargers. Chargers come in, we forget, with the number one defense. We're in the game. It's 17-13 is the final. Kirk throws for 245 and four interceptions. Four. The last two possessions of the game were picks. The final score was 17-13. We had a shot, but he couldn't deliver. And then we get to December 8th at Minnesota. He throws for 344 yards, no touchdowns, two more interceptions. That's eight picks in 4 weeks. He also threw a one in Vegas. That's nine picks in 5 weeks. That sums up the season as to how it caved on us. And here's what Kirk Cousins said, and then I'm going to let you apply or reply. He said, and I'm not making this up because you watched it last night, that he felt a little bit overwhelmed by the offense in Atlanta. Did he not say that? He said that, didn't he?
All right, yeah, we got to clarify timelines here.
Okay.
Because he didn't say that about week 10,
no.
week 11,
he
week 12.
He said
that against Pittsburgh
coming
week
in.
1.
Coming in. Here's what I'm telling you. For all of you that wanted Michael Penix to jump into the mix, you had a 13-year quarterback saying, I felt overwhelmed by the offense. And you know what he's overwhelmed by? Pre-snap motions and shifts. You know who does most of that in the NFL? A guy named Sean McVay and a guy named Kyle Shanahan. Where did our offensive coordinator come from? So he comes into our offense, and everybody wants to just throw Penix into the mix. This is why they wanted him to learn and sit. But they had no option once things got so bad after he lied and lied continuously. I have an issue with Cousins and this integrity and the fact that Abe, he sat there all year and said, I can. And then after the season, being the competitor I am, you know, I realized I really wasn't as healthy as I thought I was. Really? 404-726-0929. We're going to play some of this for you because we want you to hear from his mouth, not just us. I know you have an issue with Raheem, and a lot of people are agreeing with you that Raheem should have taken the reins and benched him earlier. It is so easy, guys, to say that. I'm banging my hand on this desk. You're cutting a big, fat check, and you're winning. Raheem was
but you weren't winning.
No. You were winning up until you weren't winning. He continued to say, we don't have a problem with Cousins. He's gotten us here. We got to give him the benefit of the doubt. And everybody was okay with it until these losses started racking up.
Yeah. Benefit of the doubt runs out. And you keep talking about you're winning or you weren't winning. It was very clear that there was a different quarterback. And this is what was most frustrating for me. I shouldn't need my own quarterback to tell me he's limited, to tell me he's affected. You've got two games worth of tape plus whatever time you had in that Saints game post-injury. You had 2 weeks of practice plus a bye week in there. You had more than enough opportunity to determine this guy ain't the same guy as he was when he threw for 509 or 504, whatever the number was. And I look at the quotes, and some of them I wrote from Raheem, but most of them I wrote from Kirk Cousins after that Saints game. And again, the way that quarterback is filmed, they have a sit down with Kirk after all of it is done and work their way through the season. And so in regards to the Saints game, quote, immediately my elbow lit up. I knew I irritated something. He continued, my shoulder started to really throb, so I knew right away this was a little more serious. Once I lost my shoulder and elbow, I didn't have many more places to lean on to get the power I needed.
Who'd he tell?
I have no idea.
Exactly!
But it shouldn't matter.
Yes,
as a head coach, you need to be aware of the limitations of a player and make the tough call. That didn't happen because after the Broncos loss, heading into a bye week, Raheem Morris, you got a level of faith our building rallied behind Kirk. No, they didn't. You continued to lose games. You cost yourself a shot at the playoffs. Your building didn't rally behind Kirk. You were hoping they were going to rally, so you didn't have to make the call you should have made.
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. He's telling you in this doc he was hurt. He knew it. But yet when asked in a public forum, when asked by reporters, this was his response.
Yeah, I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
He was on the injury list, guys. In the NFL, you're required to put guys on there. It's the rules. It's in the CBA. It's why they have to do it. They put him on there. We asked him at practice, hey, man, you're on the injury list. You all right? What's going on? Everything cool? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
And yet Abe just told you he admitted all of this, and we don't know if he told anybody. Let me tell you a secret. He didn't. And he misled our team. That's what he did. 404-726-0929. We're talking about quarterbacks.
Quarterback.
This is on Netflix if you want to check it out. I said to Abe, I'm going to watch as a fan because I'm curious. Abe's like, I'm watching for my job. I don't care about these other guys. I don't care about Burrow. Well, I actually want to see what they say about Burrow, and I actually want to see what they say about Jared Goff because I'm an NFL fan. But the fact that our guy is on this for the second year in a row, and all of a sudden now, we feel like you're getting answers that you weren't privy to. I hate to be this guy, but I told you guys this.